Hello and welcome to the Soul Refuge Podcast. My name is W.F. White. I am a born-again Bible-believing Christian, and Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Be blessed. How Satan seduced millions to worship a piece of bread. That's the message I have for you today. Very important message, by the way. You know, people by the millions, they've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, by the modern day unity that you see taking place with the Roman Catholic Church. Actually, it's downright scary. You know, as I've said many times, I was saved out of the Roman Catholic system back in 1989. I can assure you they preach a false gospel. You don't have to consult with the bewitched pastors and preachers of the modern day to learn the truth about Rome. Just go to the scriptures, read the Bible, search the scriptures, pray, ask the Lord, show me the truth about this church, and he will, if you want to know the truth. It's very important. You could be like the people of Berea, Acts 17, verses 10 to 11, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So that's the key, folks. You know, if you want the truth, you search the scriptures for yourself. So you can, you know, if a pastor or a preacher or evangelist, if they truly have been planted of the Lord, then that same pastor, preacher, or evangelist, they're going to stand against any false gospel that is going to lead the sheep astray. So if they're telling you that the Roman Catholic Church is a legitimate Christian church, they can't be real. They can't be a planting of the Lord. I know, because the Spirit of God pulled me out of that system, folks. It's a counterfeit gospel, and that's what I'm going to show you clearly today. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "Now the Spirit," it's talking about the Holy Spirit, "now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," or doctrines of demons. So if ever, folks, if ever there was a system that had doctrines of demons, it is the system of Roman Catholicism. So millions of so-called Protestant and evangelical Christians, they've been seduced in these last days because of the infiltration of the Roman Catholic Church into their churches. They've been steamrolled by that system. And, you know, people rarely even blink an eye anymore. And that's just what the devil wants them to do. This is the way he works, folks. This is the way he works. So you have to remember, each and every one of us, folks, we're going to stand before Almighty God one day. You're not going to stand before those pastors, those ones, the pastors and preachers, evangelists, that are telling you it's okay, Rome's okay, we just believe a little different, it's all right. I'm here to tell you today, as a former Roman Catholic, they preach a false gospel. So don't listen to the ecumenical people today, folks. The Apostle Paul warned the believers about the curse that is upon a false gospel and the evil of being a man pleaser. You can find that in Galatians 1, 8 to 10. So don't be bewitched, ladies and gentlemen, into this gross deception of joining hands with the Roman Catholic system, because you're going to fall into the same ditch. Look at this, Matthew 15, verses 13 and 14. "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So I'm going to talk to you today, folks. Here are three anathemas, curses from the Roman Catholic Council of Trent. These curses were upheld by the Council of Vatican II. Take the time, you know, as I'm reading these, listen carefully, slowly, and keep in mind that this is still the official teaching of the Roman Catholic church, okay? The church that's been seducing precious souls for centuries. Keep in mind that the Council of Trent was Rome's response to the Protestant Reformation. So the Protestant Reformation, folks, you had men and women of God standing against the counterfeit system of Roman Catholicism. Millions of those people were put to death because of their stand against Rome. Okay? Many of those were murdered, burnt at the stake. You hear very little about this in modern day, folks. It's good to remember. Okay? It's good to remember. As somebody once said, the one thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So, folks, I'm giving you the truth here that is rarely heard, okay? In the modern ecumenical movement, in fact, it basically swallowed up the whole church. They're just dancing with Rome. And even if they know the truth about Rome, they're going to zip their lips. They're not going to tell you anything about this because they know their finances are going to be affected, folks. It's that simple. So keep in mind, this is from the Council of Trent. It's upheld by Vatican II, so it is modern-day teaching. So this is Eucharist Canon number 1, the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist. This is what it's talking about. So this is from the Council of Trent, 13th session. Okay, and let's read it. If anyone denieth that in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist are contained truly, really, and substantially, the body and blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and consequently the whole Christ, but saith that he is only therein as in a sign or in figure or virtue, let him be anathema, or let him be accursed. So, plain and simple language, folks, if you don't believe that that Roman Catholic Eucharist, that piece of bread, you'll see a priest holding it after transubstantiation is done by him, then you're under a curse. I don't believe that. I got saved. I was born again of the Spirit. Glory to God. And you know, I think back on all the times I received the, what you would call the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, folks. I was an altar boy too. So I've seen this done countless times, thousands of times, folks. And that, in that wafer host, they're telling you that is the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. They believe that's Jesus Christ, folks. And that's how, when you take that host and ingest it, they believe you're receiving Christ. And this is what we're dealing with here, folks. So I'm telling you today, folks, this is one of the most demonic things that has ever been taught by man. And it's an absolute insult to the perfect and finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He conquered sin and death, folks. So the idea of bringing the risen and ascended Jesus Christ back onto Roman Catholic altars is ludicrous. It's absolutely sinful. So every Roman Catholic priest, they need to repent. They need to get saved. They need to be born again the true and biblical way. They're going to be held accountable for this too, folks. You know, they're not going to escape. They're going to stand before God one day. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So Peter wrote those words. Pete knew the truth. He'd be aghast if he knew what was being taught and how they believed that he was basically the first pope, I think, is what they teach. And so Peter, you know, Peter would have rebuked every one of them. So every true believer, ladies and gentlemen, recognizes that Jesus Christ paid the price in full for their sins on the cross, okay? That's what Pete said. Peter, the just for the unjust. What was the purpose? That he might bring us to God. Jesus Christ was put to death in the flesh. He was made alive by the Spirit. He's not coming down onto the Roman Catholic altars every day at the snap of their finger. Here, here's transubstantiation. It's not happening, folks. So you need to know that, folks. That's the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of salvation. Let's take a look at 13th session, okay, Council of Trent. This one says, if anyone saith either that the principal fruit of the Most Holy Eucharist is the remission of sins, or that other effects do not result therefrom, let him be anathema. So what is that saying? If you don't believe, folks, that the principal fruit of that most holy Eucharist, that piece of bread, is the remission or removal of sins, you're under a curse. The curse of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't believe that, okay? I do not believe that Eucharist has any power at all to forgive my sins any more than I believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And folks, you can find Santa and Easter Bunnies in some of the modern day churches too. This is the insanity of the modern day in which we are living in. And people will defend that to the hilt. This is what goes on, folks. So, you know, I thank God I left the Roman Catholic Church after my sins were forgiven. I was saved. I knew, I understood the gospel, that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away my sins. I knew I didn't need a middleman, a Roman Catholic priest. I didn't need to go through Mary to get to Jesus, as is taught. You know, through Mary to Jesus. No, I go straight to God. Jesus Christ is the only mediator that I need, folks. I was born again of the Spirit. Read John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. That was a new creation when I was born again, folks. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me, therefore, if any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I got a direct connection, and every true believer would agree with that. Look at this, John 3, 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see that? It says, whosoever believeth in him. It doesn't say in him plus Mary, or through Mary, you must get to him. No, this is not to be found in the scriptures, folks. That's why I tell you, search the word for yourself. Be like the people of Berea, and then the truth will set you free. But if you choose to look at the scriptures through the grid of the Roman Catholic hierarchy, then you're going to have major problems. And that's what's going to keep you outside of the kingdom of God, because you believe in man-made tradition. Folks, once again, I'm a former Roman Catholic. It's a great day, a wonderful day when you're set free from that tradition, folks. It's superstition. So how dare anybody tell people that they need the Roman Catholic Mass to satisfy the justice of God. My, oh my. And I've shared many times, one of the purposes of the Mass, they call it the sacrifice of the Mass, is to satisfy the justice of God for the sins committed against him. You know, that is the center of the false gospel, folks. So keep that in mind. When you hear about a Roman Catholic Mass, That's really the center. That's what you need to understand, that they believe when that priest offers up that sacrifice of the Mass, that that Mass satisfies the justice of God for sins committed against him. That is heresy. My, oh my. That's an insult to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ paid the price in full, folks. So what they're doing there, when you go to the Mass, people believe that this is helping them. You see, you're helping them get right with God. This is what's going to satisfy his justice. Once again, I tell you, I was in that bondage. I was in that superstition for years, folks. And the truth set me free. Glory to God. And millions of others have that same testimony. They were delivered. You know, you'll find people on comments on all over YouTube, ex-Catholics, they'll say, you know, I never read the Bible, just like myself. Once I started to read the Bible, I was saved. I was truly born again of the Spirit. People will say, I never even heard one message about salvation preached in the Roman Catholic Church. So this is why, folks, this modern day unity with the Roman Catholic Church is nothing more than a religious sham. It's the work of the devil himself. Don't ever forget that, folks. Unity with the Roman Catholic Church. Folks, somebody once said, praying for unity is like praying for water to be wet. There is a unity of believers, but it is a unity that is in truth. okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. People are born again of the Spirit, the biblical way, not Rome's way. They teach you're born again, become a child of God through infant baptism. Not true. So you see right there, and this is what you need to hear. This is what you need to know, folks. I'm telling you. This is getting worse. You know, I personally believe you're going to see a brotherhood of man coming very shortly, folks. And this pope, if it ain't him, it'll be another pope. It doesn't have to be him, but it could be. You're talking about a brotherhood. You could see what goes on, folks. The way this system. Think about this, folks. Rome, people from all over the world, world leaders from every country, will go to have an audience with that man, Pope Francis, or any previous pope, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict. Same thing. People, at the snap of a finger, people will go to have an audience with the Pope. And now you see evangelicals, and this has been going on for quite a long time, well-known evangelicals, an audience with the Pope, and they say, God is doing something, folks. Hear me now. That's not something God is doing. If he's asking you to join with a system that preaches a false gospel, let me say something to you. It is God. It's the God of this world. It's the prince of the power of the air, and his name is Satan. You see, he's the one that joins false teachers with the truth, folks. That's his goal. A fake unity, a counterfeit unity. Don't ever forget that, folks. So down in Chiapas, Mexico, I've spoken about this before. You know, people, former Roman Catholics, people who got saved, they have had their property, their homes, their possessions confiscated by the local authority simply because they refused to convert to Roman Catholicism. That's the same town that Pope Francis visited in February 2016. He's riding around his Pope Mobile, being adored by millions of fans as he carries the title Holy Father. Listen to what the Creator of all things said. Listen to what the King of Kings said. Listen to what the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty said. Matthew 23:9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. You know, every local Roman Catholic priest, that's how they're addressed too. You know, as Father, hello Father. You go into the confessional booth, bless me Father for I've sinned, it's been 3 weeks since my last confession. Then you start reciting your sins. That's what a Roman Catholic does. So, folks, we're dealing with a gospel that is not the gospel that is found within the scriptures. So, you know, when I was truly born again, I'm repulsed by the idea of addressing the Pope as Holy Father or even a priest as Holy Father. You know, you'll find people, even world leaders, bowing down before popes. Many times we've seen this in the news. It's all over the place when they travel, kissing the ring of the Pope. They want to rule, folks. That's their goal. That is their goal. So, folks, you need to understand that, folks. The true priesthood, it's a priesthood of believers made up of every man and woman, okay, who's been truly born again of the Spirit. God saved our ungodly souls. He justified us by his blood. Glory to God. So you know what I'm talking about. If you've been truly saved, if you've been truly born again of the Spirit, hallelujah. Listen to what Peter said here. 1 Peter 2:9-10, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory to God. I thank God I tasted of the mercy of God, folks. It's a beautiful thing. Something I didn't have until I was 36 years old. The mercy of God. To know you're saved. You know, people say, come on. Nobody knows they're going to heaven. Where are you learning this stuff from? And it's because they're lost. They're in bondage, just like I was lost. And then you start reading the word. You get saved. You're truly born again. You understand the scriptures. The beauty of salvation. That's what bondage does to you, folks. I was in bondage in the Church of Rome. So people, folks, you've been hoodwinked many by the Christian leaders working hand in hand with the people of Rome. Rick Warren, famous person all over the world, he once referred to Pope Francis as our Pope. Folks, this is spiritual insanity. Our Pope? Think of all the martyrs by the millions who laid down their lives. We have a Bible. We have a Bible, the scriptures today, because of men and women of God who were faithful. They fought against the Church of Rome. They wanted to get the scriptures into the hands of the common people. And they did. And they sacrificed their lives by the millions to do just that. And now Mr. Rick Warren refers to Pope Francis as our Pope. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, wake this man up. Bring him to repentance, Father, please. Please, Lord, please bring this man to repentance. So there are many pastors who do know that Rome is preaching a false gospel, but they remain silent because they know if they start speaking out, some of their, let's call it, spiritual connections with other ministries who dance with Rome, they know it's going to affect perhaps maybe their finances or whatever. God knows, and they know. So, folks, that's where we are today. So keep in mind, Roman Catholic Church, they still offer Roman Catholic masses for dead people, too. So they believe in that teaching called purgatory. There's no such place as purgatory. So, folks, as I'm giving you these tidbits of truth, you should be, if you're truly a man or woman of God, you should be listening carefully and saying, look, if this is true and there's no purgatory, then this is indeed a false gospel, and we should have nothing to do with it. And you start scratching your head, and you realize your pastor is working hand in hand at these unity meetings, and you all gather together, you pray together, and so on. So the purgatory teaching, as I said, another major false teaching. Major false teaching. I've spoken many times, you know, I used to get mass cards. You make a donation, whether it be $1, $5, I don't know what they're going for today. In fact, I saw something online. They were selling mass cards, $5. And then it said they had a package, you get 9 for 45. And I remember thinking, and you think that they give a discount, 9 for 45, you're not getting any discount at all. So these are people that are praying for their loved ones, their aunts, their uncles, Uncle Charlie, Aunt Mary, that might have died several years ago. And they're praying, they're asking prayers to be said for them that they might escape purgatory sooner. This is still going on today, folks. Going to the funeral parlor, people will bring a mass card. They have a little stand there, as I said this many times. And they put the mass card, they clip it on, there's several clips where they clip that card and the people say thank you. They mean well. I know I did it myself numerous times. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And folks, I know if you've been listening to these videos, you know I quote that often because it's one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in the entire Word of God, because it exposes the false gospel of Roman Catholicism. There's no need to have masses said continually, offering up. It's finished, folks. Jesus paid it in full, and he wants you to know that, by the way. I'm just an arrow, folks. I'm just, you can call me an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and any true Christian can take that title for themselves too, folks. You look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read it. You'll see, if you're a true Christian, you're an ambassador. So I'm an ambassador for a different kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. You get in there, you're born again, you become part of his kingdom. That's where you want to be, folks. You want to be right with God. And there's only one way to be justified, before God and saved from the wrath of God, and it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the powerful message of the cross. Christ crucified. Glory to God. It's a good feeling when you have a car. You know, you have car payments, you know. I'm so glad I'm free of that presently, God. Thank you. I love you. But I remember, you know, paying off a car, you know, you get it like a, whatever it is, 4 years, and you have the little coupon book, and you'd be tearing out the coupon, $352. And, you know, I remember once it was February, I felt like I just paid it. I said, I felt like I just paid this thing. But there it is. You got to get that check out to those people, man. If you want to keep that car, you got to make that payment, okay? Well, hear me, folks. It's a good thing when you finally see, get a thing paid in full. My car's paid off. I own the car. That applies to a house, too, by the way. So it's a wonderful thing when you can see paid in full. Well, I have some good news for you today, folks. Jesus Christ paid it in full for you, and he did it on the cross. You do not have to go back day after day or week after week to have a mass said, folks. Get saved today. That's the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. Hallelujah. Let's look at this Canon 6. Let's see what this has to say. If anyone saith that in the holy sacrament of the Eucharist, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is not to be adored with the worship, even external, of latria, and is consequently neither to be venerated with a special festive solemnity, nor to be solemnly borne about in processions, according to the laudable and universal rite and custom of Holy Church, or is not to be proposed publicly to the people to be adored, and that the adorers thereof are idolaters, let him be anathema, or accursed. And so what's this talking about here? It's talking about the Eucharist. You know, believe it or not, folks, because the Roman Catholic Church teaches that that wafer host becomes Jesus Christ after transubstantiation, they now adore that. And here they're making a statement, they're putting a curse upon people. If you don't believe what they teach, in other words, you venerate, you venerate this, worship this host. And what they're talking about at the end of this, it talks about if you don't believe that this thing, this wafer host, this Eucharist, this Roman Catholic Eucharist, can be carried. You know, this is, you know, this is sunburst. I'll see if I get you an image up on a screen or a picture. They parade through the streets, folks. With you'll see a priest. In fact, recently they had a priest in Ecuador fly around in a helicopter, and he's carrying this host, okay, in a monstrance, okay. What do they think is taking place? He believes he's carrying around Jesus Christ. And because of all the death from this COVID-19, he's flying around believing he's carrying Christ. And they wrap it in this this type of cloth or something. I've been very close to this within a church and never paraded through the streets. But I've seen that them do it within the church itself. Same exact thing, and they carry it. They believe they're carrying Jesus Christ. So this is what we're dealing with, folks. This is super serious stuff. And you may brush it off now, but hear me. There's a day coming soon when you're going to have to make a choice one way or the other. So what I'm doing here today, folks, I'm preparing you for that day. So if you don't believe that monstrance can be carried and that you worship, and if you dare to say that the people who do that are idolaters, let you be accursed according to Rome. So I hope I'm getting this stuff out to you a little clearer, folks. It is idolatry. Listen to this, Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Glory to God. By the way, you won't find that in the Roman Catholic catechism, folks. You check out my videos. I talk about how they removed that, and then they took the 10th commandment dealing with covetousness, and they chopped it in half to make up for the one they took out. This is serious stuff, folks. So I've given you three of more than 100 anathemas or curses against people who they would label me as a heretic. Today they've smoothed it out a little, soft soap. That I'd be known as a separated brethren, but the call is come home to Rome, come home to Rome. You see, and that's what you're dealing with, folks. And let me tell you something: people are being swept up in that seduction. That's exactly what has happened. So there's a counter reformation going on in the world today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I truly pity the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, which somehow think that God is into this false unity thing. But I pity even more the people, the true Christians, that know it. They know that what I'm saying here today is true, but they remain silent. Folks, that is scary. Look at this, Mark 13:21-23. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. It's a warning from Jesus Christ himself. He's warning you, he's warning me about false prophets. Okay, signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. God willing, I want to do a video on the Marian apparitions. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's Satan. Those are demons masquerading as Mary. Don't ever forget that. I've said before, I was involved in that Medjugorje thing. I never went to Medjugorje, but I believed in that stuff. And I knew others who did. I know some people who went there. Satan, the devil, masquerading as Mother Mary. Luke 6:26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Be blessed.